now back in session. The junior senator from St. Charles.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you see if there are messages from the House? If there are, would you please have them read?
There are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read those messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Concurrent Resolution 53 relating to submission of a revised summary statement to House Committee Substitution Number 2 for Senate Joint Resolution Number 2, 96th General Assembly, First Regular Session, to the Secretary of State, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Send your report forward.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics has a report.
Send your report forward. Madam Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 576, begs leave to report it has examined the same and finds that the bill has been truly perfected and that the printed copies furnished the senators are correct. Respectfully, Senator Dempsey, Chair.
Senator from the 23rd.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 510.
The informal calendar, Senate Bill for perfection, Senate Bill 510. Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 510 with a committee substitute be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 510 be adopted. This bill has to do with property taxes. Right now, in some areas, hopefully not very many, but in a few areas, foreclosures and bank sales are not considered when appraisals are done on property, and this just requires that they do. It's interesting, right now, foreclosed and bank-sold homes now make up one-third of all the home sales, unfortunately, and 60% of Americans who are shopping for a home look at foreclosed homes. So it's very important that when that is the kind of statistic out there, and even in fairness to make sure that we are reflecting market value on the appraisal of homes for the assessment of taxes, that we do accurately reflect the market value. If there are no questions, Mr. President, I renew my motion.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from Franklin, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I would seek the unanimous consent of the Missouri State Senate to introduce some special guests, if I could.
Seeing no objection, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. This afternoon, on both your left and your right, and on my left and my right, we have a great group of folks here from the West St. Louis County Chamber of Commerce. I'm not going to name everybody, but bringing them up here this afternoon is we have the chairman of the board, John Bopp, and we have the West St. Louis County Chamber of Commerce president, Lori Kelling, along with a bunch of their great members, folks who run businesses and create jobs in our area. And so if they would all stand up, Mr. President, I would ask the body to make them feel here in the Senate.
Would the guests of the Senator from Franklin from the Chambers of Commerce stand and be recognized? Thanks for coming to Jefferson City. Further discussion. Senator from the 10th, what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire briefly of the Senator from the 7th?
Senator from the 7th, do you yield?
Do.
She does. Proceed.
Thanks, Senator. I noticed that some folks from St. Louis County testified in favor of this. This is not limited to just St. Louis County, though, is it?
No, okay. It's not, and I'm glad you brought that up. Our new assessor, the former Representative Jake Zimmerman, testified for it, as did our county executive.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then You'll have to forgive me. One of the reasons I went to law school is because they said there'd be no math. And this is getting dangerously close to a math problem. I just wanted to, what does the assessor's office think that this will do then? How will this practically help them? Will this allow them to, they just get a more accurate market value or
yes,
what?
A more accurate market value. Now, in St. Louis County, I will let you know that the counting and the incorporation of assessments with regard to foreclosures and short sales and bank sales were not previously incorporated into that appraisal. But they have been since our good friend from the other side of the building has been there, and I thank him for that, and I appreciate his support of this bill.
Okay, that seems to make sense. All right, thank you, Senator. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Further discussion. Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from the 7th moves that Senate Bill 510 with Senate Committee Substitute be adopted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate Committee Substitute. Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 510, as amended by the Senate Committee Substitute, be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Close.
The senator from the 7th renews her motion that Senate Bill number 510 be declared perfected and order printed. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and order printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of House bills on third reading.
The calendar is House bills on third reading. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1193 with Senate Committee Substitute, the Senator from St. Francis. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please place that bill on the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar. House Bill 1104 is an oversight. House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1106, the Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 1106 be taken up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Polk.
President, I now move that House Committee Substitute for House Bill number 1106 be third read and finally passed.
You've heard the motion. Senator, would you care to explain your motion, your bill?
Mr. President, I have a Senate substitute and has been distributed, and I move for the adoption.
Send the substitute forward. It has been distributed. And the Senator from Polk has moved the adoption of the Senate substitute. Would you care to explain the Senate substitute?
The bill we heard earlier here in this chamber on the Senate version of that. And what this Senate committee substitute is mirrors the Senate version that came out. And this was on the county collectors. And originally this had bonding language in it where they had to bond prior to filing for office. And we had taken those provisions out. So currently the basics of the bill now are the substitute is that they have to be 21 years of age, a resident of the state and county in which they serve for 1 year prior to filing for the office, be a registered voter, have their local and state taxes paid up to take office. So it is basically mirrors the same version, the Senate version, and with the addition of taking out all the bonding language. And with that, Mr. President, I renew my motion.
The Senator from Polk has moved that Senate substitute for House Bill 1006 be adopted. Anyone wishing to speak on that motion? Senator from Jefferson, thank you for bailing me.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment that's been distributed. I ask that the reading be waived.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Would you like to move for the adoption?
Yeah, I'd move for the adoption. This amendment is it's a bill that I sponsored, went through local government committee. I think it's going to be in the omnibus local government bill. What it does, my county, Jefferson County, became a charter form of government a couple years ago. The county collector used to contract, well, contracts with cities to collect municipal taxes. In the charter, it states that whatever they were doing prior to the charter being collected would be controlling, which means they would be allowed to continue to do that. They asked that I just clarify that in statute. With a new form of government, there's always going to be little tweaks, and last year and this year, I'm just trying to clear those up. I would be happy to answer any questions. I would move for its adoption.
Senator from Jefferson has moved for adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you seek recognition?
If I could just inquire briefly, the senator from Jefferson.
I yield.
He yields, Senator. You may proceed.
I'm sorry, Senator. All that I heard was tweaks.
Yeah, okay. So in every county other than first-class chartered counties, the collector is allowed to contract with municipalities to collect taxes for the municipality. Our county had always done that. In our charter, it said that basically if whatever you were doing prior to the charter as county office holders shall be controlling on passage of the charter, which means they'll be able to continue doing the things that they've done. The collector wanted to make sure that it's very clear that they're still allowed to do what they've always done as far as collecting taxes for municipalities. That's all that does. It's probably a consent bill, but we don't allow those anymore.
Right. So does it only affect Jefferson County?
That's right. Only Jefferson County.
Okay. All right. Does your county allow for their tax bills to be sent out the day after Election Day?
I don't know. I guess that happens in St. Louis County.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, not after yesterday, no. Well, we still have to pass the bill through the entire process.
Yeah, there's a long way to go.
All right, yep. All right, Senator, thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
We're on a motion of Senator from Jefferson. Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you seek recognition?
May I inquire of the Senator from Jefferson?
Senator from Jefferson, you yield.
No, yes.
He yields, Senator, you may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to, is the language that I see, I read it as this is Jeff County specific?
Only Jefferson County.
Okay, the only question I had is, on the first part on page 1, on 2 you have, in any county with a charter form of government, and you refer to population, why is this part about bracketing out each county officer in all counties, bracket out that, and then of the first, second, third, and fourth classes? Am I missing something, or?
Yeah, hold on.
Comma, and in any county with a charter, do these people already do this?
Yes.
I heard your explanation.
Other than first-class chartered counties, every other county in the state has that authority.
Okay. I just want to...
The way they had written that is...
It makes it look like brand-new language.
Right.
And you're bracketing out that, and I guess you're just restating it.
That's right.
Okay.
So instead of mentioning all first-class counties with a charter form of government, it instead lists... First, second, third, fourth class, and Jefferson County, basically. With that.
In all counties of the first, second, third, fourth classes, and in any county with then
Jefferson,
the Jefferson part. Okay.
Yep.
And the distinction on Jefferson is you adopted a charter?
Correct.
But you're still stuck in the old population thing.
Right.
Sort of a hybrid.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Well, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr.
We're on the motion of the Senator from Jefferson. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize close. Senator from Jefferson moved to adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. All in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We're back on the motion to Senator from Polk, Senator from the 13th. Do you want to inquire of the Senator from Polk? Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
You yield, Senator, you may proceed.
Senator, I don't sit on local government. Just a brief question. Where'd the idea come from to lower 21? To run for office to 21? Has it always been 21? I'm just curious. I'm asking.
I think most of them have been that. I don't think the collectors were spelled out that. I think there's just where the guidelines were and other officials, it wasn't in the collector. It's in line with all the other elected officials, what we're trying to do.
All county officials only have to be 21 years of age?
I believe that's correct, yes.
Even sheriff?
No.
How old sheriff?
I probably check and find out if you need to be.
No, I was curious. You were a sheriff. You would know that.
Well, sheriff, you'd be 21, I know.
I was just inquiring out of curiosity. That was my sole mission. Thank you.
We're on the motion of the Senator from Polk. Senator from the 10th, what purpose is to seek recognition?
To inquire of the Senator from Polk.
Senator Polk, do you yield?
I do.
You yield, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you. On this Senate committee or Senate substitute, it says it adds a provision for the procedure when a vacancy occurs in the office of collector or treasurer, and I think that's probably this thing on page 3, section 4, and I had a question for you on that. It says, in the event of a vacancy caused by death, resignation, or otherwise, in the office of collector, treasurer, the county clerk shall follow the procedure in section 52-180 that apply when there is a vacancy in the office of collector in other counties.
Right.
Do you know what that procedure is or what that's all about?
Yes. They have a different standard than most elected officials do as far as... And if the staff would, because we looked at that last week, I don't have it freshly, but it's different how they, maybe they could get that for you real quick or pull that up, that statute over there, because there's a different sequence they have to go through than like a normal replacement of others because of the money situation.
Oh, okay. So.
Because if they're in the process of that. So there's a different procedure they go through for replacing than what you would for the sheriff or a circuit clerk or something like that.
Okay, so all we're saying is that in the office of a collector treasurer that they will follow the same procedures as the current office of collectors do.
Right.
Okay. That's as long as they're following what other offices do. I don't need to know the exact procedure. I just wanted to know if we were creating a new procedure for this office. Okay. Thank you, Senator.
We're on the motion of the Senator from Polk. Does any other senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Close.
Senator from Polk has moved for the adoption of Senate substitute for House Bill 1006. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The substitute is adopted. Senator from Polk, you are recognized for the third read motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Committee substitute for House Bill number 1106 as amended be third read and finally passed.
Heard the motion of the Senator from Polk. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you recognize the close.
Close.
Madam Secretary, call the roll.
Senate substitute for House Committee substitute for House Bill 1106, an act relating to certain public offices that have statutory bond requirements. Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keaveney, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Pergeson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer,
aye.
Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from St. Francis votes aye. Senator from Green votes aye. Senator from the 14th. Votes aye. Senator from the 2nd, votes aye. Senator from Cole, votes aye. Senator from Boone, votes aye. Senator from Andrew, votes aye. I'm sorry. Senator from Cape. Madam Secretary, please call the absentees.
Senators Crowell, Nieves, Ridgway.
Senator from Cape. Both votes aye. By your vote, 32 aye, 0 no, the bill, having achieved a constitutional majority, is passed. Let the journal show that the titling and perfection motions were made and carried. Senator from Jefferson.
For the senator from Cape Girardeau.
Senator from Cape. Senator from Cape, you yield to the senator from Jefferson.
I yield.
You yield, Senator. You may proceed.
Senator, I was wondering if you're going to make an introduction at some point tonight.
I don't know.
A special guest.
No.
No, as a newlywed.
I don't know if she's here yet or not.
I saw her walking into your office on my way down here.
So she did make it in here and all of that. Yeah, I don't want any of you all to talk to her or even know who she is. So no, I'm not going to do that.
Well, much like myself, you way overachieved.
A Jefferson County Steak and Shake early one afternoon, you and your wife.
Well,
yeah, and we won't talk about the states that we were in that Steak and Shake in Jefferson.
Right. Well, you know, those in Cape Girardeau, I think at least when I was in college there, we would drive to my district to get White Castles and go back.
Exactly.
But much like myself, we both way overachieved.
Oh, so. Without question, yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thanks, sir.
Next up is House Bill 1174, Senator from Johnson.
President, thank you, Mr. President. I move that House Bill 1174 be brought up for third reading and final passage.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from Johnson. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 1174 deals with the issue of when a school district becomes unaccredited, as we've seen in Kansas City. Kansas City School District became unaccredited on January 1st of this year, and according to the state statute, it takes two full school years before a district can actually be taken over. And so what this bill does, Mr. President, I move adoption of Senate Committee Substitute.
Thank you, Mr. President. I didn't see that. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Well, and luckily I had some colleagues who were willing to help out. So I
knew he was trying to help you, Senator. I just wasn't sure what he was.
Right. It's great to have friends, isn't it? So appreciate that. So House Bill 1174, what it deals with, it would give the State Board of Education the ability to actually take over a school district without waiting two full years, because according to state statute, it would not be able to do that until June 30th of 2014, which is almost 2.5 years away, and that even would affect summer school for 2014 and some other things as far as hiring for the 14-15 school year. It's just too long and too burdensome. And so that is the main thrust of House Bill 1174. It talks about some of the roles of the special appointed administrative board, and also about what a district can do to get back in compliance, and as far as how long that governance structure stays into effect. So I'd be glad to answer any questions, or if not, I renew my motion.
Senator from Johnson has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute for House Bill 1174. Does any senator wish to speak on that motion? Senator from the 15th was the first one I saw seeking recognition.
I'm part of the Senator from Johnson.
Senator from Johnson, do you yield?
I do.
Do you yield, Senator? You may proceed.
Thank you for yielding.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your work on the committee. And this issue that we have before us right now deals with the accreditation issues in Kansas City.
Right.
And as you know, they're also on the other side of the state in St. Louis County and St. Louis City. There's an accreditation issue there as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. St. Louis Public is unaccredited, and under the most recent ruling from the Supreme Court, although it has not completely played itself out through the lower courts, right now, any child living in St. Louis Public has the ability to go to any district that's accredited in the same or adjoining county right now. This issue is playing itself out in districts that I represent, Webster Groves, Kirkwood, excuse me, Lindbergh, Parkway, Afton, Bayless, those districts that are near St. Louis Public are dealing with a really sort of an unreasonable situation in that they have no control whatsoever to establish criteria by which they could accept kids coming from St. Louis Public. I support the idea of moving towards reform. St. Louis Public is making strides. They're doing better. There are probably some more things we can do. But I feel like I have an obligation representing the taxpayers in my district who, when we're talking about, and this sort of ties to the funding issue too, 93 to 95% of all the dollars used to educate a kid in Kirkwood come from local taxpayers because they're not getting any new money from the state. So whenever they want to build a new building, whenever they want to hire new teachers, they go to local taxpayers. By and large, those local taxpayers have been supportive. There's a bargain, in my view, that those taxpayers have when they go to the ballot box and they make a decision to vote yes. It's a school district. Their kids go to that district. There's an understanding. And I think what we're dealing with now is the logical consequence of if there isn't a fix, those districts, those taxpayers, would have to bring in trailers, theoretically build new buildings, hire new teachers to take care of this situation that exists where they have no control over the number of slots available. And so
it would have a tremendous impact.
Yeah, and I know that this is something that, you know, on the Education Committee, you're very aware of, and I know that you're sensitive to that. I'm faced with a situation now where we have a House bill that's about to be third read to deal with that situation, and I don't know in the next 5 weeks if I have an opportunity to try to address the issue that's really important in my neck of the woods, which is to allow those districts to have some control to create those criteria. And so I have an amendment being drafted. If my staff is there, it should be drafted, which will allow those districts to have the authority to determine the number of slots available based primarily upon classroom space and high qualified teachers, to anticipate population growth, some pretty reasonable criteria on the number of slots available. They're not a situation where we're saying there can't be any transfers, but we've got to do this, I think, in a fair way. And it's quite possible that, you know, there are other people who have other ideas, but I have an obligation to move forward to try to deal with this issue, because when I go back home, as I said earlier today, nobody's asking me about if we're going to, you know, waiting on bated breath if we're going to have the official state butterfly or the jumping jack. It's what are we doing about this Turner situation? What are we doing about the ability for local districts to determine those slots available? So, and I mentioned this to you mm-hmm. before, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. While the amendment's being drafted, because I know you are very involved in these issues
right.
as well.
It wasn't this Monday, but the Monday before, we had a very similar bill, Senate Bill 677, which also deals with this. And you were very helpful in forging a compromise.
Right.
Because there was language, which is currently in the House version, that does talk about Turner. And I believe a couple of the senators on this floor here, as well as some House members, put in some language that basically said no action of the State Board of Education shall supersede the right, basically shall supersede Turner. And so I don't know how an amendment of yours would deal with that. And then, of course, when we were dealing with the Senate bill, we did put in some language to accommodate some other senators to make sure that they were comfortable with that language. And so the language that we worked on about 9 days ago is not in here. And
right.
so if we wanted it to mirror what is in Senate Bill 677, we'd have to make that change. And so
right.
I wanted to alert that to you and my other colleagues that language is not in here.
Well, and I think that was an effort to address the concern that that the senator, I think, from the 7th had, that DESE was directing districts to violate the law. There was some letter or something about how you can get around if, in fact, the law is interpreted to say, yes, you have no control over the number of students that can transfer into your district, that DESE then can't direct them to do otherwise. And as somebody that respects the law, if that's what the law is, that's what the law is. But this amendment that I'm going to offer is an attempt to try to deal with that issue, which is to say, look, we've got to have, we talk a lot about local control up here and allowing local school boards to have decision-making authority to be able to determine the number that's reasonable given the existing classroom space and the teachers that are available. I know that a lot of people believe that this is a St. Louis County issue, but there are a lot of districts around the state that are on the verge of being provisionally unaccredited or unaccredited, and it will affect them as well. So I think this is something that makes sense to do, and I am anxiously waiting the amendment. You know what? I'll inquire. Why don't I inquire the senator from the 24th? Mr. President?
Senator from the 15th.
May I inquire the senator from the 24th?
Senator from the 24th, do you yield?
I do yield.
You yield, Senator. You may proceed.
Thank you. This is an issue that your district, the senator from the 7th, the senator from the 1st, all of us are dealing with and trying to figure out a way home here. I don't think it's responsible for us to leave this session without dealing with this issue.
Senator, this is the number one issue for my district. It's a very far distance between number one and number two. And overwhelmingly, my constituents want this resolved. Our communities are planned around our school district. Our system of property taxes and property valuations are all contingent upon our school districts. I have people in my district move to neighborhoods to go to specific elementary schools. You may be aware, Ladue School District just passed a 20% increase in their tax rate. The community is committed to supporting their public schools. I've explained to them all the moving parts down here. I've explained to them that we've got funding formula issues that are left unresolved. We have a desire for reform and reforms that I support. And they hear those things, and they've said to me, look, do what you have to do in the funding formula, do what you have to do in reforms. This is what we need to have done. Now, what we've done in this session is we have not put all these things together. What we've done is we've left them separate. And we've started down this process of discussing all the options beginning last week. So I look at last week was a discussion surrounding tenure, either the elimination of tenure or in the bill that we ended up perfecting, going from 5 to 10 years of tenure. And when that idea became better known to my constituents, the calls to me were, okay, we understand that's part of this negotiation, but what's happening on Turner? Has Turner been fixed? Has there been a bargain struck? And so, you know, unfortunately, we're in a situation where we won't vote for all these things at the same time. We won't vote for reform. We won't vote to fix Turner. We won't vote to fix the formula all in the same bill. Somebody has to go first.
Right.
That's where we are.
Yeah, so, and I think, you know, the challenge is, last year the frustrating thing was this was emerging as an issue. It was an issue last year. We didn't get to deal with it. I think I maybe offered an amendment on the second to last day of session, and the bill was laid over, and we didn't resolve the issue.
Right.
And I'm sure that there are some people who probably just want to go, you know, walk away from this session and not deal with it either. But I'm elected to represent 170,000 people that pay taxes in those districts. And I also, at the same token, wearing your state senator hat, I also believe that we ought to have some level of reform to make struggling districts better and to pay teachers more, all those sorts of things. But we can't, unless we start to deal with it here on the Senate floor, unless we start to really get these issues out there, we're never going to solve the problem. And maybe we don't, but
I'd be curious to see how this goes, okay, because the senator from Johnson is a sponsor of this House bill. We're trying to amend this, your amendment onto this bill. This bill doesn't include foundation formula fixed language. The senator from Johnson is very, that's one of his high priorities, is to come to some resolution of the foundation formula. The senator from the 7th has a lot of interesting and thoughtful reforms.
We need to hold the conversations down so the senators can debate.
of which reforms which I support and, you know, intend to support some of those reforms. It comes down to, though, somebody has to go first.
Yeah.
Somebody has to go first. And so if the senator from Johnson is willing to let this amendment go on, to fix that, that my definition of this as a Turner fix is this allows the neighboring school district, gives them the opportunity to accept or to not accept these students and explain why they can or they cannot. But like I said, somebody has to go first. So if this happens now, Kansas City kind of gets what it wants in terms of speeding up the loss of accreditation. Turner is fixed to the satisfaction of our constituents.
Right.
And then maybe tomorrow we vote on the first set of reform bills.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that somewhere between now and the May 18th, we're gonna take up the foundation bills.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see everybody's points, and I, you know, we're making sausage, but we're not going to make one big fat sausage with respect to education. I'll commit to, you know, be open-minded and supporting reforms. I know you and I, as frustrating as it is to us about the foundation form of discussion, I do recognize the fact that that's a top priority for a lot of the guys down here, both in the House and the Senate.
Right.
So I support your amendment. I'm grateful for your amendment. Hope your amendment goes on. I hope we third read and pass this bill. But I also, to Senator from Seventh, Senator from Johnson, and all other interested parties, I understand what you're trying to do in reform, and none of these things should happen in a silo, but it just so happens that these bills are happening one at a time. And for me, for personally, if this is the first thing, then the things that come after that I can support much more aggressively. If we did reform first and didn't do this, and we never did this, then it would be a big problem.
Yeah, and I think at some point we got to just start dealing with it.
Got to start getting it done. So.
So thank you. Thank you for the inquiry. Mr. President.
Senator from the 15th.
I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed. I ask for a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. Would you like to move for the adoption?
I move for the adoption of the amendment, Mr. President.
And would you like to explain it?
I would. This is language that has been worked on, refined over the last 2 years to deal with the issues that were outlined earlier. And what it does is it allows for those local districts to determine the criteria by which they will accept non-resident pupils from unaccredited districts. The primary criteria must be the availability of high qualified teachers in existing classroom space. They can take into account for the district's resident student population growth or decrease, such that the receiving district is not required to employ additional teachers or construct additional classrooms. To me, this stuff is reasonable. That's not to say that this is the end of the story, but at some point we have to recognize that taxpayers have a right to have a fix to a problem that exists right now. And not dealing with it now, I think, is a mistake. So I know the senator from the first has worked on this. I know that there are others in this chamber that care about this. The senator from the 14th, I know, cares about this. And so this is just an attempt to get this thing moving and start to deal with these issues. With that, Mr. President, I'd answer any questions.
Senator from the 15th has moved to adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1. Sitting senator wish to speak on that motion. Senator from the 1st, what purpose do you seek recognition?
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire the senator from the 15th?
Senator from the 15th, you yield.
Yes.
He yields.
Thank you, Senator. I just received your amendment, and there's a lot here. Can you walk me through what you're trying to accomplish here?
Sure. We've got... how do you want to do this?
In a broad sense, because I was out on the side gallery there, but in a broad sense, is this your version of a Turner fix?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it is primarily to allow, when you have a situation that we have now, where you have an unaccredited school district, right now, students in that district can go to any accredited district in an adjoining or the same county, which for us means...
Right.
A lot of the districts that we represent, Lindbergh, Parkway, Kirkwood, Webster, et cetera, et cetera. And so this would allow those local boards of education of each district to determine the criteria primarily based on available teachers and space, because I don't think it's fair for our taxpayers to have to build new buildings and hire new teachers. We already support at a local level, more than any other place in the state, public education. And so I don't think we ought to be penalized for that and have to do spend more money. But at the same time, I recognize that there are challenges beyond our districts that we ought to deal with as well. But this would just, and the transportation, and the cost would be paid by the district that the child is coming from. It would set parameters, it would set application, I mean, things that you would normally have in a process, application deadlines, so that people can make reasonable calculations about the number of people that are going to be in those districts the next year.
And the receiving district, through their elected school board, would be able to have a part in the process as far as determining the reception of the students coming?
Absolutely.
Okay. And how would the clearinghouse
I think that was language that you – do you have that language too? No, okay.
No.
A clearinghouse would be established to sort of help deal with the number of applications. And
is that a component currently of the VIC program? I mean, is that the way they do things?
Right now with the VIC program, my understanding is that you're basically in zones, and that's primarily to deal with the transportation costs of – if you're in South City, it may make sense to be in a South County school district as opposed to being in Pattonville up in Northwest County. So this would be an attempt to try to help navigate through the process the folks that do want to leave the unaccredited school district and go to a school district in St. Louis County.
And did you introduce this as a bill, Senator?
No, this is, I guess, is what's been affectionately referred to as the Rick Stream language. Generally, now I know that the language that you had may be a little different than this, in that I don't think it specifically set out some of the criteria by which, you know, the classroom space and the teachers. So I think it's in the same vein as the amendment that I think you were, or the bill that you filed, but I don't think it's identical. But the punchline is,
my bill the goal is to stabilize the unaccredited district and give them some time, and,
right,
and then also allow for them to transfer inter-district, you know, to accredited buildings within their district,
mm-hmm,
and keep those kids in their neighborhoods and keep those neighborhoods complete. And I've always said that I believe the way to build good neighborhoods is around good quality schools.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I like the concept of the receiving districts having some input, you know, in the process, because I think that what a lot of our districts, Senator from the 7th, Senator from the 24th, self and in my district, our concern for those bordering districts is the uncertainty
correct
that the Turner decision actually leaves them with, right? I mean, they have an elected board that has to put a budget together, has to go out and hire teachers, has to know what kind of facility needs you know, are required,
right,
for a given school year. And all of those things are up in the air as long as this is hanging over their head.
Yep.
So anything that we can do to alleviate that, I would certainly be supportive of. I'm still concerned, as I hope my colleagues, you know, from the city of St. Louis, I'm still concerned about pulling the rug out from under the progress that they've made there, even though slow. I mean, they're making progress.
I agree, yeah.
And the Turner decision has the potential to take resources away that are important to continuing that process in the right direction. So,
yeah, and I don't think anybody...
I mean, I really think... Now, have you got any feedback, you know, from the education community as far as what you're trying to accomplish?
I didn't. Okay. Most recently, I haven't run that. I just looked at what was out there as a way to deal with the issue. And so I didn't, you know, seek the approval from folks. I'm more than willing, you know, if there's...
Not approval, but maybe input.
Yeah, no. Input has been so. I think generally folks with, say, the cooperating school district would be supportive of this. I don't want to speak for them. Now, maybe they believe that your language that you had is a little better, but I think if we could get this thing done, and I don't know if we will, but it would go a long way in helping solve some of the issues that have been presented because of the Turner decision. I don't think it's responsible to say nothing happens, let everybody deal with it. I just don't think that's responsible public policy. And so if we can get down the road to a place where I think most people reasonably believe we can be or should be, that's what we ought to be doing. So I just think, look, this is the Senate. We're supposed to air these issues out. I feel like I have a responsibility for the area that I represent to try to deal with this, and so that's why I'm offering the amendment.
Mr. President. Mr. President.
Senator from the first.
I have an amendment to the amendment.
Send your amendment to the amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
Mine.
Has it been
and
distributed?
And I would imagine it's being distributed. I'd ask for the waiver of the reading, and I'd move for its adoption. I won't close until...
Do you actually have a substitute amendment, Senator? Say what? It's a substitute amendment.
Can we, Mr. President, can we recess?
We can stand at ease.
Stand at ease, I mean. Sorry. Stand at ease.
Senate will... Hearing no objection.
You want to adjourn?
Hearing no objection.
President.
Hearing no objection. He has the floor. He's asked for stand at ease. If I don't, you object? All right.
Mr. President, could you send my amendment back?
We will send your amendment back.
Thank you.
Senator from the first, you still have the floor. Senator from Johnson, do you have something you would like to interject here?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask that this bill be placed on the informal calendar.
It will be placed on the informal calendar. Senator from Stoddard, what purpose do you seek recognition?
President, would you please refer to Ways and Means and Fiscal Oversight, Senate Bill 576 with the Senate Committee Substitute and Senate Substitute?
It will be so referred.
Thank you.
Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
We're on the order of business of announcements. On the order of business of announcements. Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee on the judiciary will meet very quickly upon adjournment in the Senate lounge.
Thank you, Senator. We're on the order of business of announcements. Senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on General Laws will meet in Hearing Room 1 following adjournment.
Thank you, Senator. On the order of business of announcements, Senator from the 23rd.
President, no further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've had the motion, heard the motion of the Senator from the 23rd. All in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate will stand adjourned. Under the rules.